I want to go to Luke chapter 11, where we've been camping for a while. We were talking about training in praying. Training in praying. And prayer is a part of our lives. Prayer is a part of our lives. And I know it can be one of those areas that can be a little bit frustrating, if not downright create guilt in our lives that we don't pray enough. But at the same time, if you can look at it as, praying being that kind of thing that maybe we do more than we give ourselves credit, because we could pray anytime, any place that we are, right? And we can pray from our hearts and express prayer from our hearts when we pray. Can you hear me okay, John? I want to make sure. And so in that context, some of my best praying, I pray while I'm at the gym. I'm up early, I'm at the gym, and for me, running the treadmill, or when I do the elliptical, I get bored out of my skull the longer I go. So I've disciplined myself that as soon as I start praying. And I'll pray through all of that time. And it's such a habit in my life that even if I run on the road, whenever I start exercising, there's something that kicks in where I immediately start praying. And so training in praying, I want us to have this sense about us that it is a normal part of our lives as believers, as people who are looking to the Lord, and that in as much as we take no conscious thought of breathing. If you are taking conscious thought of breathing, well, maybe there's something physically wrong. You need a doctor. But breathing is that normal part of our lives that a lot is going on when we breathe. And prayer is to be that kind of expression in our lives. And so we're saying some things about that. It is bigger than that. But just to emphasize, our whole lives pray. We can look at it in that way. So that's what I just said. But training in praying and how to improve your prayer life. So I kind of look at these messages, and today we'll wrap it up, as kind of, the meat and potatoes type of messages of pastoring. And, to help you in your prayer life. And again, I would ask you, do you pray? Do you pray? And so how to improve your prayer life. So we began this series by looking in Luke chapter 18. And Luke in particular, as I've already said, talks a lot about prayer and Jesus' own example of praying. I think I mentioned some almost dozen times in the Gospel of Luke that it draws special attention in one form or another to Jesus praying. Jesus praying. In Luke 18, Jesus tells the story, as we look there, about getting answers to our prayer. We talked about that, that nagging area of our lives, of our prayer lives, of unanswered prayers. And we all have those areas. We have prayers that we've been praying for a long time, answers don't come. And we tried to say some things from Luke chapter 18 of how it is that we improve our unanswered prayer life. And whether or not it was encouraging to you, helpful for you, it helped me in my life. And then we turn to Luke chapter 11. And let's go there, Luke chapter 11, where it says, on one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so they saw Jesus pray. And by his example, they wanted to do what he was doing. Whatever it was that inspired them about Jesus praying, there was something that hooked them. There was something that intrigued them. There was something about Jesus praying that they said to themselves, hey, we got to get in on that thing. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And we're that has kind of been our emphasis here now in Luke chapter 11. Teach us to pray. And a couple of weeks ago, as we've been fiddling with this passage, we said some things in regards to that. Teach us to pray. In the beginning verse, Luke says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Notice what it says. One day, certain place. So when it comes to praying and our learning how to pray, there is time and space involved when we pray. There is time and space when we pray. It says one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Space. And from that, we talked about some things in regards to our praying and taking a time to pray. Taking a time to pray. So we got to have a time when we pray. If we just leave it to, well, you know, I pray through the day. And again, as I began, that's valid. That is absolutely valid, and those prayers mean something. And not taken away from that. At the same time, there has to be that those moments, those times, where we have something specific, a specific time in which I'm going to pray, so that I'm unhooking from all the other distractions. You know, and as much as at the gym when I'm working out and I'm praying, and as much as, you know, Planet Fitness is the judgment-free zone, I'm looking around, you know, and there are judgments going off in my head. But nevertheless, you know, or other things, and, you know, in life, in our daily lives, and it's only right that we are occupied with work and business and situations. And there's distractions and interruptions. So when we have that specific time in which I'm going to focus on praying, it helps us to be detached from distractions, you know, and to zero in that concentrated effort of praying. And so we said some things about that. As well as it says in a certain place, that it's also necessary not only to pick a time, but to have a place where you pray. And I have that place. I have those places around that I pray. If you notice, I never refer to my my study that I have downstairs here as my office. If I've ever used it, it's been rare. But I don't look at it as, you know, my office. I look at it as my study. It's the place where I go to study and to meet with God. It's my place also of prayer. It's my place of prayer. You know? And I have places of prayer in my house. And in my time of prayer, that's where I go to pray. That's my place. And so we talked about that, even as we saw with Jesus. And I would, again, you know, rehash that by encouraging you to have a time and a place when and where you pray. Do you have a time when you pray? Do you have a place where you pray? Okay. And then today I want to look at, from this passage, as we try to finish it up in our moments together, okay? Like I say, meat and potatoes. This is meat and potatoes stuff of preaching, of teaching. Meat and potatoes stuff of living as believers, of followers of Christ. Notice what he said. He says, so they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus says, I'm glad you asked that. And I'm glad you... It's a wonderful thing about Jesus in his classroom. It's really interesting, but you never sense this kind of formality about Jesus. You know, it's really an amazing thing. It really is. It was ad hoc. You know, okay. So in other words, Jesus took the opportunity of their inquiry about prayer that was precipitated by his example to say, okay, let's have a teaching moment now. Let's have a teaching moment. I mean, that's pretty cool. I personally like that kind of thing. And personally, I like to gear my own pastoring, my own style like that more than any other way. Nevertheless, they say, so Jesus says to them, all right, I'm going to take advantage of this. Let's have a teaching moment. He says to them, verse 2, he says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. He says, okay, let's have a teaching moment. We're going to get into some things here about praying. I'm going to teach you right now. And the first thing he says is, when you pray, say. So just, you know, that is as simple and as obvious as the noses on our faces. That we oftentimes have, unless we look in the mirror, overlook. And that is, when you pray, say something. In Hosea, he says, it's around chapter 12, I think it is, in Hosea. Yeah, no, 14. Hosea 14. He says, when you go before the Lord, take words with you. Bring words along with you when you go to the Lord. And so the idea is that, so when we go to pray, have something to say. You know, you got something to say. Bring words with you. And I know that, you know, we can become so stuck in ruts, if you will, sometimes. We could become so anemic in our prayers. You know, God bless. It's like when I prayed with the boys last night when we prayed, you know, I tried to bring it down to their level. So, you know, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless no-no. You know, as we pray with the boys and you know, they got their eyes closed. Little Ben, you know, I kind of peeked or whatever. You know, he's got his eyes closed like, he's not going like that. I mean, they're just not closing. I don't know why. And I get that. And I think to pray that way is okay. God bless. But somehow there has to be more imagination brought to our time of prayer and our talking, bringing words. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at. We're going to get into this in a moment. When he begins, from Luke's version anyway, of the Lord's Prayer. So when you pray, say. Now, so he says, Luke's version, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. You ever get stuck there? Then we've talked about that. And then he ends his version of saying, and lead us not into temptation. Now, so when you pray, say, and then he says these words. When you pray, say. Now, these are more than words that are written for us merely to repeat. You got to hear me. I'm going someplace with this, okay? Now, we in some circles, this prayer is called what? The Lord's Prayer, as I've already mentioned. Others, you know, the Our Father, I know in the Roman Catholic tradition is referred to, and some others. Our Father, right? And that's okay. Now, I pray this prayer as it is written, mostly from, if not always, from Matthew's version, and I think most of us here could recite it verbatim, right, from memory, from Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want you to think about something with me, because Now, again, I pray Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer as it is written, so that I take it very literally, pray and say these words. But I want to suggest to you and underscore that there is something more going on here than merely repeating these words as they're written. So when Jesus said, when you pray, say, and then he says, Father, that he also meant to bring words with you when you pray that include these words, but mean something more than just the word itself. Okay? Stay with me. I'll help you. It's evident that Jesus means more than just repeat these words, because think of it this way. Luke's version is different than Matthew's version. So if Jesus just meant repeat these words, you know, when you pray the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, say these words, why isn't Luke's words exactly like Matthew's words? If Jesus were to mean just when you pray, just say these words. Luke's version is a lot different than Matthew's. And so I think that's the first piece of evidence that we have that Jesus means more than just repeat the words as they're written. Come on, stay with me on this. It's larger than repeating the words as they're written. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus teaches on prayer there, he says, be careful that you do not what? Use vain repetitions when you pray, right? Repeating the same words over and over again, you know, thinking that somehow, you know, almost like a mantra type of phraseology and words, that by them repeating them, the repetition of them, that something spiritual, something holy, something religious, something is going to wiggle its way through and finally get God's attention, heavens. No. And so there's something more going on here. When you pray, bring words with you. Enlarge upon the words that are here, that Jesus is getting at something more here than just repeating the words as they're written here. Now, I want to just zero in on that, okay? Father, there's some, I don't know, six different requests. There's six different aspects to this prayer here that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, Luke's version. So each one of these aspects helps me when I pray. If you could look at it that way. So each one of these words, each one of these phrases, I have to bring into prayer, say something about them. They're going to help me to fill out my prayer life and to bring words with me when I pray. Okay? So when you pray, take words with you, but make sure your heart is in it. Now, when I pray the Lord's Prayer verbatim, when it's written, I'll emphasize one part of it or another, I'm making sure that my heart is in it. You know, these days especially, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Boy, do we ever need to pray to be praying that part of the Lord's Prayer in these days. And all the crazinesses we've already mentioned going on in our world, Lord, how we need your will. How we need your will in our world in these days. Lord, how it is that we need your kingdom to come all that much more. Why? Because in his kingdom, there is an understanding of righteousness, peace, and joy. There is an understanding that God is no racist, and that those who are a part of the kingdom call each other brothers and sisters, regardless of, and you name it. You name it. Now, it isn't that I don't see color, let's say. It isn't that I don't see different ethnicities. We have to be careful of there. You know, it's like Andre, I'll pick on him. Oh, you're my brother, Andre. I don't see that you're black. Well,
he's Irish.
I mean, how stupid is that? And it could be offensive. No, Andre is black. And black is beautiful, brother. Come on. I'm telling you, come on. But the thing is that he being black, I being white, we are brothers in Christ. You understand? And there is a divide that has been breached in Christ that unites us. And it's impossible for us in Christ to be separated. It's impossible for us to be separated in Christ. The other thing about ethnicities is this, and having traveled to many different places around the world and loving people from different parts of the world, is that it's like, you know, well, okay, I'll pick on my two halves. Well, you know, I'm Italian and you're Polish, and so, I'd rather have pierogies than spaghetti, than pasta any day of the week. Well, listen, I want to tell you something. I love both. You know? The idea that I'm making is that God made us with distinctives to complement one another, not to divide us. But where does that happen? It happens in Christ. And so emphasizing that part of the prayer, Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You talk about fighting the racial divide that's happening in our country. That kind of praying will do it. That kind of praying will do it. I just want to emphasize this. He says, bring words with you. Pray from your heart. So when I pray those words right there, there's something of my heart in that. There's something of my heart in that, you know? Take words with you. I have a lot of prayers that I have for years and years and years and years that I have written on 3x5 cards. And over the years, for many years, different prayers that I pray, I have written them down. And I keep them, and often I'll just shuffle through the cards and pray them as I wrote them, some many years ago, some a year ago, and I pray them. And they continue to be heartfelt because they came from my heart when I wrote them. And so that's a way in which I am, when I pray, bringing words with me when I pray. Okay? Here's another way to take words with you when you pray. Pray Bible prayers. No, wait a minute now. There are actual prayers in the Bible, you know? There are prayers. One of them, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, when you pray, pray. So we take those words. But then there are prayers, especially in the epistles, where the different writers of the epistles, when they begin their letters in writing to churches, they say, hey, listen, I'm praying for you, and this is how I'm praying for you. And then they'll pray. They'll write out the prayer. Well, wait a minute. Hold the phone here. I can take that prayer and pray it as one of my own. So I'm taking words with me when I pray. When I'm reading and doing my devotions, and I'm reading a portion of Scripture, and I'm reading in Jeremiah right now, and as I'm reading through, you know, the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says something, and the way in which he's dealing with the nation of Israel, and something stands out to me, hey, I'll take that, and I'll turn it into prayer in my own life. So I'm taking words with me into prayer. As I'm reading, you know, as I hear something from Pastor Bob's message today, I'll take those words and I'll turn it into prayer. Oh, yes, Lord. Let that be alive. Let that work in my life. From Melody's message last week, was that good or what? You know, it really was some good stuff in our identity in Christ. Ooh. It's like, man, you know, we just don't let it. See, when you take the words with you when you pray, you know what you're doing? You're stopping it from what? Going in and coming out. and God's able to use it in our life. Take words with you. Pray Bible prayers. Pray using the Bible words. And then, now that's what I want to say as I wrap this up from the Lord's Prayer, Luke's version. When you pray, take these words with you. When you pray, take these words with you. Not just as a repetition. Not just as repetitious. But, Father. Now, just stop there a minute. That when I address God, in my mind, my imagination, my heart, there is no greater name that I can address God with than when I say, Father. Whew. That's incredible. And when Jesus taught us to pray, he doesn't say, when you pray, say, Lord. Wow. I mean, think about that for a minute. That he wants us to approach him not with this kind of attitude, which is there, he is the Lord God Almighty, but when we approach him in prayer, I'm approaching him as my Father. I mean, think about that for a moment. He is our Heavenly Father. See? And so my imagination is rounded out. The way in which I relate to God. So when I come to him in prayer, there is this sense of me relating to him as a child does to his or her father. Now, I know that some of you have had bad relationships, and every father is flawed in the way in which they raise their children. Flawed. Now, I know my kids think I can walk on water. Never made any mistakes. But we do. And I grew up in a dysfunctional home. My father, I knew he loved me. Oh, and he showed it. You know? You heard me tell the story of how my father was an avid fisherman. And I can still remember him calling into work. I won't be in today sick. He'd hang up the phone. Come on, Bobby, we're going fishing, you know, during the summer. And it's like, wonderful, you know, I loved it. And at the same time, you know, my father did things. And, I mean, he was an alcoholic, and he mistreated his family. And you know, I can remember visibly on the corner of the block where we lived, there was a Southside saloon. And I can still, this as a little kid, being out on the street playing and watching my father walking home, literally zigzagging, drunk, home. You know? And growing up, you know, when I got a little older, feeling embarrassed. Now, my father had quit drinking, cold turkey, quit drinking. But still being embarrassed of my father because of other things. And yet, I'm saying this for a reason. And yet, when I got saved, when I became a Christian, that did not influence my thoughts, my imagination, my understanding of who God as my Father is. You understand? That I didn't have this understanding, well, you know, somehow, you know, God is going to be in a bad mood, and he's going to come, you know, with anger and take it out on however, whoever. You know? I never had that thought. Because so at depth at work, so real was this being born again in this spirit of sonship within me relating to, as Matthew says, my Father who is in heaven. So it's rounded out. And I'll finish it up by just going with every phrase that Luke makes here. To think of it more as a phrase that is helping you to round out your praying more than it is a phrase or a word to use as verbatim. And I'll just close with, you know, I mean, look at, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I mean, if you haven't wrestled in prayer about forgiving someone, you haven't had an issue with forgiveness. And I dare not ask for a show of hands. I'll raise both of mine. Have I had, listen, I'm Italian. I know how to hold a grudge. I grew up, my Italian family, I mean, it's scary what I grew up in. And talk about people and the way in which they talked about them. I mean, it's scary. And we wrestle in prayer about it. You see, it isn't just that we pray mouth the words, Lord, forgive me as I forgive. But we, and then look at the last one there, lead us not to temptation. You know that, have you ever struggled with a temptation? You know, what do you do with it? Well, you bring it to prayer. And you round it out, you bring words with you. Lord, I'm being tempted. It's like, you know, the first thing, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to bring that to God. It's like as though God goes, I would have never thought that about you. I want to tell you something right now. He's got your number, okay? He already knows, and far more. He's got enough on you, I mean, to really make it go badly for you, I'm telling you right now. And so you get my meaning this morning? You get my meaning this morning? That we take these words, and we round them out. We pray them. We bring them into our prayer lives. Amen. I'm done. Let's stand together. And so, some meat and potatoes stuff for you today. For heaven's sake, will you pray? Our Father, of all the goals that we set in our lives at times, the goals to, you know, eat better, to get healthy, to lose some weight, to manage my time better, to be more disciplined in this area, that area, or, you know, I'm going to, you know, bring down my debt, save up some money, whatever it is. I pray right now, Father, that you will help us in the goals that we set to pray better. To pray better by taking these words with us when we pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name for your help. Amen. God bless you.